Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I have my guest, as you already know, Brother Harold Copeland, in studio with me today for us to continue with this powerful teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship. And we just continue to praise him, glorify him, and receive from him all that we and he has for us to continue to know about him. And this is what this ministry is about, Mission from the Heart Radio. And we've been just moving expeditiously through this teaching series, coming to understand what discipleship really is and how pertinent and how necessary it is for each one of us to be discipled by the Word of God. So I don't want to continue to delay time, but it is Brother Harold's responsibility to continue to move us through Scripture and to continue to lead us and guide us with the hand of God as we come to understand the importance of being discipled. So, Brother Harold, if you would continue us right along in this wonderful teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hello, everybody. God bless you. As you know, I am Brother Harold Copeland. And again, along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, we are in studio together again. We'd like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio broadcast. We always want you to know that it's an honor and privilege to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you, we appreciate you, and we thank God for your life. But most importantly, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. And yes, every time you open your heart and receive the Word of God, our God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit that will take you to your divine destiny, and you too shall fulfill God's plan and call for your life. And as was said, that we're still on the series under the umbrella of discipleship. And we are still teaching under the topic of the atonement. And I sense at least two more nuggets that the Spirit of God wants to reveal before we move on to another topic. Now, whatever topic we teach from, we must understand when we leave the topic of the atonement, we can never leave the atonement. Because everything that God has given to us in this dispensation comes from the atonement. That is where the price was paid in full, and it was finished, that we can have access as Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 say, to all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, they belong to us because of the atonement. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to open up with our launch pad scripture coming out of Matthew chapter number 28. And we're starting with the 16th verse to the end.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen. And we are going to keep on going and set the foundation for the teaching. And we will let our witness out of the book of Psalms chapter number 103, our witness out of the book of Psalms, chapter number 103, verses 1 through 3, tell us about the atonement.
Psalms 103, verses 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all our iniquities? Who heals all your diseases?
God said that his word is established upon two or three witnesses. So we're going to go to the Old Testament and get our second witness out of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24.
Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed.
Amen. And from previous teaching, as we taught on the atonement, we discussed that there were three categories of the atonement, three different versions administered by three different representations of God. And we just asked that if you didn't hear those teachings, to go to the website. And all those previous teachings are on demand on the website. But we said that the first atonement was administered by God himself in the garden after Adam and Eve sinned. God had to kill an animal. The animal blood was shed for the covering of that sin. And God took the skin of that animal and made clothing to cover Adam and Eve. And the second category of the atonement was with the Israelites in the temple, administered by the high priest, where he went to the holies of the holies right into the very presence of God, and you put the blood on the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the people for that year, and he had to do it over and over and over and over again. And we mentioned that the last and final atonement only happened once, and that was on the cross of Calvary, and it was administered by the Lamb of God himself, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And we will ask Romans to set us up with that atonement. Romans chapter 5, verses 10, 11. Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and 11.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation.
Amen. And that word reconciliation is translated in the King James, the atonement. Now we have to bring in John chapter 6, verse 38. John chapter 6, verse 38.
And it reads this way: For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
Amen. So we understand that Jesus wasn't doing his own thing. He was doing the will of the one who sent him, and the one who sent him is our Father. So Jesus was doing the will of the Father. And he said in another translation that I only do what I see the Father do, and that was by the Spirit. Everything that he saw in the Spirit, the Father doing, then he came and he manifested it, those activities here on earth. So we understand that Jesus died to set us free from sins, so that automatically the will of the Father for all of us to be set free. And all we have to do is believe and receive. Jesus died to set us free from sickness, as we read previous from Psalms and 1 Peter. And we just read that Jesus did not do his own will, but he did the will of the one who sent him. And the Father God is the one that sent him. So it was the Father's will that we be set free from sickness. And we know that Christ will not lead us into sin. Thank you, Lord. And Christ will not bring infirmities and diseases upon us. God is not the author of sickness. God did not write that book. And we're going to see who wrote that book. But it wasn't Abba Father. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, we have Peter preaching the gospel to Cornelius. And not only was Peter preaching to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, but he was preaching to Cornelius' whole family. And in this scripture, Peter summarized the life and ministry of Jesus So this one scripture that we're going to read in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, summarizes Jesus' life, mission, and ministry. Acts 10, 38.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.
Amen. The life and ministry of Jesus Christ summarized in the book of Acts. And we know that Dr. Luke wrote the book of Acts. And Dr. Luke is telling us that, first of all, Jesus was anointed. And Dr. Luke tells us that God is the one that anointed Jesus. And Dr. Luke goes on to say that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, hallelujah, and with power, glory to God. Somebody say power, man. Now, he was anointed for a reason, amen. He said he went about doing good, amen. He was anointed to do good. God anointed Jesus with Holy Ghost and with power to do good. And Jesus was doing God's will, so it's God's will to do good. Amen. So we ask ourselves, what goes in the category of good? Okay, let's keep reading. He said healing all. So healing is good. That was oppressed. Well, oppressed is not good. But healing is present now with the oppression, amen, to set us free for the oppression so that we can walk in the good, which is the healing. The oppression, he say, of the devil. So the oppression came from the devil. You know, we can sum that up. If it's good, it's God. And if it's bad, it's the devil. So the healing was good. So that's God. But the oppression was bad, and that came from the devil. And it closed out by saying, not only was Jesus doing God's will, which was good, but God was with Jesus making it happen. So it's God's will to do good, to forgive us of all our sins, and to heal us and to release the benefits, as Psalm told us in 103, verse 1 through 3. Forget not all the benefits. Amen. So it's God's will for us to receive all the benefits that Jesus earned for us, freely gave to us by grace. And we receive it through faith as a gift from our Heavenly Father. So Jesus went about healing people, and it was good. You know, sadly enough, today we have some churches today that thank people who pray for others and claim that they are healed. You know, some churches say that's of the devil. You know, that's why we have discipleship, to pull down the untruths and to release the truth of God's word, that God's word can just take over the atmosphere. When we saturate the atmosphere with God's truth and with the reality and the will of what God wants manifest in the earth realm, of that what God won't manifest in his hearts of his people, in the minds of his people, glory to God. He said, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That was Paul told us in Romans chapter 12. So every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ is all of our thoughts must be saturated and permeated with the Word of God. Our hearts and our minds was made only for the Word of God. And if we look inside of our hearts and we inside of our minds, then we see any other word that's not the Word of God. Amen. We have to do what 2 Corinthians tells us to do in verse 10. He said that pull down those strongholds. Pull them down. And say cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalt itself over the knowledge of God, that exalt itself over the Word of God. Imagination that would try to exalt itself over the Word of God. Take the place of the Word of God in our hearts and our minds. Amen. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord. So we understand that when Jesus healed the sick, amen, it was good and it brought glory to God. Hallelujah. And when we heal the sick, pray for healing, or pray for our healing, or receive our healing, it is good because it comes from the atonement and it brings glory to God. And we said last week, and we stand on it, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that there is therefore now no condemnation. Amen. There's no condemnation to us, to God's people. Amen. He said to those that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. That's people of God. We walk after the Spirit. Colossians tells us to walk in the Spirit, and we shall not mind the lust of the flesh. And the Bible tells us, see, the Spirit is a new garment, amen, that God has given us through by way of salvation. It's a new garment, the spiritual garment, and we have to put on that garment. Hallelujah. Amen, the truth of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. And, you know, when things bring glory to God, it draw people close to God and not the devil. Amen. Healing brings glory to God, and it brings people close to God and not the devil. Deliverance brings glory to God, and it draws people to God with all of their hearts and their minds and their souls. And it draws people away from the works of the devil. Amen. And to the blessings and deliverance that God has already appointed to a people that whosoever will, amen, will come and receive glory to God. God is healing people. Satan is not healing people. God is delivering people. Satan is not delivering people. God is prospering people. Satan is not prospering people. God is doing good. Satan is not doing good. He's doing bad. Jesus went about doing good, killing all that was oppressed of the devil. And that's where the oppression came, from the devil. Amen. God is not the author of bad. God is not the author of sickness, infirmity, and disease. Now, we want to look at a prophecy, and then we want to look at the fulfillment of the prophecy. We want to take two words out of the prophecy and line them up with the interpretation from the fulfillment of the prophecy, so we can get a true understanding of what our brother Isaiah was prophesying. He didn't see it. He was in the old covenant. And what he was prophesying was what was going to manifest in the new covenant when the Messiah came. Amen. He saw it by the Spirit, but he didn't see the manifestation of it. So let's go to the book of Isaiah, and we will go to chapter 53, and we will read from verses 3 through 5, and let Isaiah prophesy to us.
Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has bore our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed.
Amen. And Isaiah is prophesying about the Messiah. And as we look in verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. We want to write the word transgressions down. And he was bruised for our iniquities. And we want to write the word iniquities down. Because there are some churches that believe this passage is saying that it's not talking about a physical healing, but they say that the transgressions and the iniquity were spiritual sickness, spiritual and emotional sickness. And you could hear them preach that we were all crippled. We were all spiritually crippled. We were all emotionally crippled. Sin had done so much damage to us spiritually and so much damage to us emotionally. And then Jesus came to set us free. But as we go to the manifestation of this prophecy, which will be in the book of Matthew do the translating for us. He translates transgressions and he translates iniquities to their appropriate meaning. So we don't have to go to the strong because Matthew did the work for us. And we're just going to read what Matthew have to say about the manifestation of the prophecy that Isaiah prophesied in 53. So let's go to Matthew chapter 8. And we would read verses 16 and 17.
When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses.
Amen. So the scripture says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, who is Isaiah. This is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Took out the two words, transgressions. And Matthew translated them for us, transgressions. Matthew said means infirmities, which is a physical sickness. And the other word was iniquities. And Matthew translated it as sickness itself. So when the prophecy was fulfilled, Matthew translated the transgression and the iniquities as infirmities and sickness, which are physical healing, physical sickness and physical diseases, not anything spiritual. So this shows that God, it is God's will to heal us physically. Now, emotional and spiritual sickness is included. We just want to make sure that the physical sickness is not left out, because the word of God tells us in Psalms 103, forget not. And we want to be obedient to that scripture and remember all that God has done for us. And we are in the dispensation to receive it. Amen. And what we say is, there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And Romans 8 and 2 say, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free. Amen. We're free. We're not condemned. Glory to God. But we come to remind of people of God, amen, about the goodness of our God. Amen. We come to remind of people about the goodness of Jesus, that we do not forget his goodness. You know, the psalmist said, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, hallelujah. Say, my soul, glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's why we bring all the benefits, and through this teaching, amen, we release all the benefits, and we don't leave anything out. We don't forget. We stay obedient unto that command. We stay in faith. Glory to God. And if any one of us gets sick, there is no condemnation. Amen. We just pray that we rise up in faith and remember what Jesus has made available for us. If any one of us fall in sin, there is no condemnation. Amen. We just remember that that sin already been paid for. Amen. And God is not imputing it into our account. Amen. So we can't let the devil come in and condemn us and try to impute it. Amen. And we have to let him know about the blood of Jesus has already set me free and cleansed me and washed me and paid for the price for every one of my sins. Sins of yesterday, sins of today, sins of tomorrow, sins of forever. That's good news. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. Hallelujah. the good news of what Jesus Christ has already done for us. And whosoever will, let him come. If only you believe, you can receive. And in Mission from the Heart Radio, the Spirit of God always step in and give us the opportunity to open the doors to the kingdom and offer unto whoever is willing to come to be part of the family of God. And the Holy Spirit always come in and begin to nudge and begin to touch the hearts of the people. Glory to God. And I know that the Spirit of God and the Word of God is knocking on the door of somebody's heart. And to be obedient to that, that God has called us to do in this hour, I must decrease and allow the Spirit of God to manifest the will of God in this hour and allow someone this great opportunity to become part of the family of God. I am going to turn it over to Minister Smith, and we're going to stop, drop, and pray, and we're going to allow her to take us to the cross. Amen. That opportunity can be received by whosoever will. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, this is a time that we, as Brother Harold said, that we stop and drop and pray that someone would take the hand of Jesus and accept and receive him, that they would have newness of life. And we believe that someone today is listening, not by chance. They're listening because God wanted you to give your life to him today. So we are going to extend Jesus that you would receive him in the pardoning of your sin. So if you would, my brothers and sisters, touch and agree with me and Brother Harold as we go to the throne of grace, making our petitions known, and you would lift up that person that you may have been praying for a mighty long time. Continue to intercede for them today as we are all in agreement. But for you, my brother or sister, who may not know him, that you know that you know that you know, today is the day that we would pray together. But you prepare your heart and repeat after me. As we go to the throne of grace together. So let's pray a prayer of salvation today. So if we would bow our heads, humble our hearts as we pray together. Now, my words, but your heart, my brother, my sister, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, here I am. I need a Savior. I come to you as humble as I know how, asking what must I do to be saved. I'm told through your word that you are my Redeemer. It was only by your blood, Lord God, the Son of Jesus that saved me from myself. As my words and my thoughts and my deeds did not line up with your word. Lord, forgive me. I receive you as my Savior by faith. Lord, I believe that there is no other way to heaven but by you. Cleanse me, O Lord. Clean me up from the inside out. For I know no other way. I tried to do it myself, and I failed. I thought about doing it myself, and I failed again. But you and you alone are the, you are my cleaning source. I set my heart, my mind on you, Lord, and receive by faith you as my Savior. Here I am, Lord, here I am, surrendering my life to you because I love you. But the word tells me, and from what I hear, you love me first. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And amen. And amen. Amen. Praise the Lord from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have done the most wonderful thing that you could have done in your whole entire life, and that is give your heart to the Lord. And this is a time that we rejoice with you. We are excited for you, and we just glorify God because of what you have done. So now we encourage you, Brother Harold and I, we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church, that you would be baptized by submersion of water. And when you come up, when you arise, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you can tell the world that you are a child of God. So we encourage you also to seek out a small group Bible study within that church, such as a Sunday school class or a small group discipleship class, that you would continue to grow and go in grace. And as you become discipled at church, continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio so that your discipleship growth will continue as well. The angels rejoice, we rejoice, and others who partnered with us in prayer today are rejoicing because you gave your life to Christ today. What a joy it is. So praise ye the Lord. Thank you for doing the most important thing you could have done. And Brother Harold will continue.
Amen. I agree with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul. I welcome my dear brothers and sisters, and to the family of God. God is your refuge. He is your strength. He's your strong tower. And all you have to do is trust it. Proverbs tell you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And I tell you what, that path leads right to the atonement, that you can receive all the benefit that Lord Jesus Christ has made available for you now, because you are a member of the family of God. And what we was doing through the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, in Matthew chapter 8, that was the second nugget that God has given me to release as we go toward the ending of the atonement part of the teaching. And when we take a scripture from the Old Testament and line it up with a scripture from the New Testament, it is what the theologians call harmonizing. So what we did, we harmonized Isaiah away of Matthew. And Matthew took the words griefs and sorrows and harmonized them to be infirmities and sickness to show us that Isaiah was speaking of physical healing and not just emotional healing. And we thank God that emotional and spiritual healing are included. But we just want to make sure as we harmonize the Old Testament and the New Testament, make them fit together like a hand in a glove to show the realities of what has been made available for us through the atonement. And we do not forget. For he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, and that by his stripes we are healed. We are healed from every sickness, disease, affliction, and infirmity. And it's not by power, not by might, but I hear the word says, by my spirit, says the Lord. And in this series, we looked at many scriptures that showed us physical healing as an important part of Christ's atonement. And the reason God took us down this avenue through the atonement and he poured out the physical healing part first is that's the part that many churches forget. And they forget because they listen to what human beings say and they do not founded on the word of God. So through the power of the word and the spirit of God, God releases these scriptures to show that it is always his will to heal us. When we stand, we have to stand on the word. And we can't give in to pain, and we can't give in to how we feel, and we can't give in to our thoughts. But Jesus says, by every word, it's what the word says. Hallelujah. And there's power in the word of God. Glory to God. And Jesus said, my word is spirit and my word is life. Amen. Spirit and life. The word of God releases a supernatural life. Amen. Glory to God. And it releases supernatural power within us. Amen. When it get in our heart. Hallelujah. It has to get in our hearts and not our heads. It has to take that 12-inch drop. Somebody put your pointy finger on your head, okay? Pointy finger on your head. Now drop it down to your heart. That's how the word got to drop. I mean, the word can't function from the head. Point to the head one more time. It can't function there. That's just head knowledge. There's no power in head knowledge. Now drop it, and let it land on your heart. Yes, yes. See? And that's what David said. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Amen. See, the word of God is a seed. Amen. And our hearts are the ground. But it's spiritual, but we can liken it unto the natural. You know, I'm from the country in Georgia, and grandmother used to plant crops all summer long, you know. And we harvest during the summer, but she plant during the planting season. And she took the ground, the seed of the corn, and she cultivated the ground, broke up the fallow ground, and she planted that seed in the ground and covered it up. Amen. Amen. But the seed had to get in the ground. And Jesus tells us about unless a grain of wheat goes into the ground and die, that means it gets covered up. Amen. It abides alone. Amen. If it stays on the ground, it's going to be alone because it will never get the nutrients that it needs to produce. It won't be able to germinate unless it goes into the ground. And it's the same way with the word of God. We can't keep it in our heads, but we got to let it go into the ground of our heart. When we get it into the ground of our heart, David said it gets hidden there. Amen. It's underground. But you know, there's some power underground, even in the natural realm. When we put that seed in the ground, that corn in the ground, those beans in the ground, amen, they are out of sight, but there's some power down there working and starting a germination coming forth. And it's the same way in our heart. When the seed of the word of God get in our heart, the power, we may can't see it, but the power of God is working with that word and manifesting the truth of that word on the inside of us. Glory to God. That word comes to life when it gets in us. We come one with that word. Amen. And that word come one with us. We get to know that word. See, that word is in our heart. And intimacy comes from the heart. Intimacy. And what we have an intimate relationship with that word. And that word produces, it produces an intimate relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. And what Jesus does, he takes us to the Father. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. And you know, God has one more nugget that he wants me to release from the atonement. And I give you a little heads up. It's one little word. And that word is called sozo, S-O-Z-O. And we're going to discuss sozo the next time we come together. But I want you to remember the atonement, because in the atonement, you reign in life with Jesus Christ. You don't look at what is seen, but you look at that what is unseen. You walk by faith and not by sight. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are rooted and grounded in love because Christ dwells with you. And now you have become a tool in God's hand. You are a workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus for good work. And God got that plan for your life, and that plan is manifested every time the word of God comes forth and gets into your heart. And you too shall walk out God's divine plan for your life, and he shall be glorified, and you shall get the victory in the name of Jesus. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, this has been a wonderful ride, and just moving through the scriptures to enlighten us and to continue to have food to feed, to chew on for the rest of the week. It is just a delight. And I thank God for Minister Harold using him in the manner that we can continue to eat the word of God. And that is a delight. All of the rich scriptures today have been a blessing, and I just encourage you to continue to dig deeper in all of the scriptures that he has given us, to just pull that ground back and look at all of the life that runs deep in scripture. It's worth the searching. We encourage you to continue to search the scriptures night and day, so that you can continue to grow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Minister Harold, for this wonderful lesson today. And we are in this teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship. So we just encourage you to continue with us on next week as he continues to open our eyes and open our heart. And like he said, you wrote down S-O-Z-O, and just ponder on that and be ready to receive what he has for us on next week. So just always remember that the grass withers and the flowers fadeth away, but the word, the powerful word of God, the Bible, the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation will remain forever and ever. So we just enjoy sitting at the table of Jesus Christ, feeding on his word, and we want to spend time with you again on next week. So God bless you, and we will meet again next time.